from KQED. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Queena Kim. A new play at the Berkeley Rep tells us the story of a withdrawn, sullen college student and how a teacher tries to break through to him. And it explores the prevalence of gun violence in this country. Playwright Julia Cho joins us to discuss her work, which runs through March 25th. Then at 10:30, a new memoir chronicles the emotional turmoil and rage brought on by birth and the ensuing medical complications. Writer Molly Caro May joins us to discuss Body Full of Stars and her call for more public discourse about womanhood's joys and indignities. That's coming up next, right after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Queena Kim in for Mina Kim. Playwright Julia Cho's Office Hour is about a college professor's attempt to break through to a sullen student named Dennis. The play was written in response to the 2007 Virginia Tech shooting. It's up right now at the Berkeley Rep, and Cho, the playwright, is here with us to talk about her play. Welcome, Julia Cho.
Thanks for having me.
We just got off an hour of talking about the shooting in Parkland, Florida. And this play was actually written many years ago, and it was just came off of a run in
New Haven.
New Haven, Connecticut, mm-hmm. and just ended up at the Berkeley Rep. Was it coincidental or just sort of a really unfortunate sign of the times that it coincided so, on the mark with the latest mass shooting?
I think it's definitely a sign of the times. I would like to say that the play, which was written in late 2014, I think is when I completed the first draft of it. And I'd like to say that the play would be obsolete by now. And at the time, we were still very much in the middle of this epidemic. And I think it's just a sign of the times that unfortunately here in 2018, we are still talking about it. And the play has had several productions. Mm-hmm. And so each production has been kind of for me a personal marker of sort of where we are in the conversation about school shootings or mass shootings, not just in schools. And so it's been interesting because some productions have been just after something, some productions have been before something, and then with this production, it just, I think by sheer statistical, chance, has sort of fallen more squarely on top of something happening.
Mm-hmm. You've said that the Virginia Tech shooting was sort of the spark that led you to start thinking about a play. You're Korean American, and the shooter in that Virginia Tech shooting was also Korean American.
Yeah, that was one of the shootings that that struck me because mm-hmm. it was the identification, being part of the same community as the shooter really struck me. But I think that it's hard to call it really the spark. It was more just something in my mind that really sticks out, like a formative event that happened. Mm-hmm. But certainly the whole roster of shootings that have been happening since Columbine has kind of, each one has affected me.
Yeah, because I actually remember that shooting. I was an arts reporter in L.A., and the news editor called me and was sort of like, have you heard about the shooting? And I was like, why would he be calling me? Like, I don't even cover this. And then, of course, he's like, the shooter was Korean, and I'm Korean American. And I thought, oh, God. Why? And for me, it was sort of this repulsion. But for you, it almost seems like it sort of opened a little bit of a gateway to maybe, I don't know if empathy is the right word, but sort of get a little bit more of a connection to somebody who might have just been this sort of anonymous shooter. Does that resonate at all?
Yeah, definitely. There was a sense that it opened some kind of door. And if not necessarily into him, then certainly into his family or his community, because mm-hmm. it sort of felt like, oh, then he is of the same kind of Korean-American community that I'm part of. And that, to me, opened another door towards how all of these shooters, they're not isolated, people who come out of nowhere. They have friends or family. They're from somewhere, and no one is born completely unconnected from anyone at all. So I think that in looking at the ways in which I felt sort of loosely connected I realized that everyone has some shooter who could be loosely part of maybe their community too. So it just opened a door into a larger thought of, well, where do they come from and who are they and who are the people around them?
Mm-hmm. So I wanted to set up the play a little bit without giving too much away. It sort of starts with three instructors at a junior college, it seems. They're in the English department, and one of the students it's troubling them. They find mm-hmm. him to be really weird and what they call the classic shooter. The way that that was delivered on stage, it was a little chilling because it's just become this thing now we have a classic shooter. You know, it's just become a part of the lexicon. And the minute they said it, everybody in the room knew exactly what they were talking about. And it was almost sort of this word we have now.
Yeah, it's sort of this new archetype that has sprung up. I think a very similar word to that is active shooter. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like that has become a strong part of the lexicon, that now when there's an active shooter alert, everyone knows exactly what that means. And that simply wasn't true 10 years ago.
Yeah. So then these two teachers are talking to the Asian American professor and was saying, you need to go talk to this guy. Why did they choose her?
Well, I think that the way the play is structured, that all of them are very concerned, and that the two professors who are talking to the third have had the student before. And now she's the new teacher who sort of is up to bat, mm-hmm. so to speak. But I think that part of it is a sort of hope that because she has a similar background to the shooter, that she might be able to connect with him or speak to him, which to me is you know, an extension of how I think when people share a similar background, you do have some assumptions that might even be correct about, you know, that they might have things in common.
So the instructor's Asian, the student is Asian. Mm-hmm. And so both the other professors are like, maybe you can connect with him in some way. And so then the film, the professor who, the Asian American professor says, hey, why don't you come to my office hours, and invites this teacher in. And from here, you structure the play in a really interesting way. I'm wondering if you could structure the play and sort of tell us, you know, without giving it away, how it plays out, what you were exploring there.
I think that what the play is on some level is also a play about the impossibility of writing a play. I think that for me in starting to write it, that there were many failed attempts to write the play because it was trying to write some sort of smooth linear narrative on top of something that is so inherently unnarrativizable, if that's even a word, or unnarratable. Just the enormity and the awfulness, I think, of an event like that defies any kind of neat story structure. And so then I think that in trying to write a play about any of these terrible and overwhelming things, it just became impossible to write a play that would start from A to Z. And so what happened is that the play broke and it kept breaking. And instead of stopping with each breaking, I think that I realized that maybe the brokenness is part of the play mm-hmm. too. So what you see with the play is very much a play that is struggling to even be a play about this thing in the world that I think defies all narration.
Mm-hmm. And actually, I had a different takeaway a little bit mm-hmm. in that I agree with you that it's a very confusing time right now with these mass shooters, and there's no way to get into their heads. And often in times like this, we look to artists to try and, I don't know, make sense or get some sort of feeling or try to see their process of trying to make sense of things, as you just said, are hard to explain, hard to know, because you can't really get into that person's head. And I'm wondering if that was a little bit of your intent of, you know, trying to mirror that process that we all sort of go through, of like what could have happened, who could have intervened, all the questions that the people ask in the aftermath.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I have a similar impulse when something horrible happens. I, too, look to an artist to help me make sense of it. And in some ways, you know, like Virginia Tech was in 2007. And as I said, the play didn't really get written until very late 2014. And I think that for a good part of that time, I was also waiting and hoping someone else would write about mm-hmm. these things, you know. I was hoping there would be some amazing New Yorker article that would, you know, explain what happened and why. And the more I waited, the more I realized, oh, no one's writing that. And then there was this sort of terrible, oh, I guess I need to, if I want to ever answer these questions, I need to to try. But I think had someone else tackled any of these issues, I would have been so happy and relieved. And instead, I was like, oh, okay, I guess
you just
it's
had
me.
To sit with it for years and years.
Yes, years and years.
Well, we are talking with playwright Julia Cho about her new play that's up at the Berkeley Rep right now. It's called Office Hour. We're only going to have her for the half hour till about 10:30. So if you want to call and join this conversation, you can give us a call at 866-733-6786. Again, that's 866-733-6786. You can also get in touch with us on Twitter and Facebook. We're at KQED Forum. Or email your questions at forum@kqed.org or post them at kqed.org/forum. I guess I wanted to sort of get to another idea with this, and that is it was interesting to me that while the shooter and the instructor, Asian American, the way you wrote the play didn't necessitate that they be Asian, but only have something in common that's unique to them. What was the thinking behind that?
I don't know if there was really a clear intention when I sat down that I wouldn't specify race. All I knew is that when I sat down and heard them and saw them, for me, that first iteration was that they were Asian American, in fact, even Korean American. But I also felt like the play would eventually be beyond me, mm-hmm. And move past that. And I wanted very much to make it possible for the play to be interpreted in other ways. And I think part of that is because the play is really about reflections, you know, in the sense that what I find interesting is that because I wrote the play with Asian American characters, I think some audience members sit down and perceive it as a play about the other. But they were not other to me. They mm-hmm. were myself to me. So I kind of feel for the play to work best, it should feel as close to the bone as it can to the people who are putting it on mm-hmm. so that they shouldn't feel they're trying to present something other than themselves. So I think the play is very much built to be taken and I would give it to other artists to say, use it to reflect yourself. Don't use it to reflect me.
Mm-hmm. We've got a call right now from John in San Francisco. Hey, John, welcome to Forum.
Hi. Yeah, my question is having to do with how did you get into the mind of the shooter? And the media out there, we always hear something very superficial. Oh, we never saw it coming. We couldn't understand them. They're crazy and so on. So it's very superficial. So how did you research that? How did you come to make it realistic and match what really goes on in an actual living shooter, which is a person, right?
Yeah. That's a very good question. And that, I think, is a lot of what made me start thinking about the play. A lot of the rhetoric surrounding shootings is that they're deranged monsters, they're evil, they're insane. And certainly there have been some shooters that do seem to fill that out. But I think that the only way to write a play about anything, any topic, any character, is to always start off with the idea that they're human, that what you're trying to portray as something and someone human. So in trying to get into the mind of the character, for one thing, I didn't approach it as trying to get into the mind of a shooter so much mm-hmm. because I think that despite the fact that the play talks about a classic shooter archetype, the fact is there are many, many different kinds of people and there are many different reasons. So I didn't think that there was any one archetype I could portray realistically. However, I felt I could portray somebody who was very sad, very lonely, and very isolated, and very angry about it. And I think that those things to portray, you don't actually have to look that far because we all know people who, if spend at least some time in those areas, you know, like I think a lot of the talk and rhetoric is very much about essentials, you know, people who are essentially broken, who are essentially insane or essentially angry. And I think the vast majority of us, just in experiences with each other or ourselves, know that as humans, we travel through those landscapes and we travel into them and then we can travel out of them. And that there's something very fluid about those states too. I do think adolescence concentrates those states. And so I think in looking at getting to the mind of a character like Dennis, it was about sort of like, well, what are those qualities turned to the most extreme volume? And what does that look like? What does that sound like? And in some ways, I think it was also taking the darkest places of myself and thinking, well, how far could they go? And in the play, I think that in some ways, Gina and Dennis are very similar in that they're both traveling through these sort of similar terrains of despair and loneliness, but coming out in very different behaviors. Mm-hmm. So I guess to answer the question in a very long way is to say that it was about approaching the character essentially as human.
Yeah, and that's interesting. You mentioned that the instructor, Gina, as well as the student, have similar sense of anxiety or loneliness and whatever. And I'm wondering, did you give much thought to, I mean, in some ways, your play just sort of speaks to the human condition, right? Like that it's sort of, there's a lot of loneliness and sadness in life. And yet people process it differently. And it was sort of interesting to see these two mirror images. You have the instructor who seems to be going through this very lonely divorce. It feels estranged and, you know, sort of cast off. And then, but she's different from this guy across from him, right? Who also feels a sense of alienation. But they're acting it out in such different ways. Have you given a thought of what is that line?
I think part of the line is age. I mean, the fact that Gina is older and sort of coming out of a different generation. But I also think part of it is gender. I don't think I'm a gender essentialist. It's not so much that women are one way and men are another. But I do think men and women are socialized in different ways. And I think there is something to how Gina's loneliness and sadness comes out sort of inwardly. Like, I think that she sort of internalizes all of her loneliness, whereas Dennis, who is younger and in that sort of adolescent hormonal soup, I think takes it in a much different direction. But I don't think at its base their emotions are that different.
We are talking to Julia Cho. She is a playwright and has a new play up right now called Office Hour. I guess it's not new, but new to the Bay Area. It's a Bay Area debut at the Berkeley Rep. She's going to be out with us for like another 10 minutes. We're only spending half an hour with her. So if you wanted to ask her any questions, you could give us a call at 866-733-6786. Again, that's 866-733-6786. Or you can find us on Facebook and Twitter. We're at KQED Forum. Or just email us your questions. We're at forum@kqed.org. I guess I was wondering also, like, in terms of, like, the process of the teacher, we've been talking a lot about the tutor. That's a process. The teacher's mind is something that seems to be sort of familiar to you as a writer. Can you talk a little bit about how you shape that character?
That character was very easy to shape, given how much teaching I have done. And I think that it was actually kind of fun to write about that time when I was doing more teaching, sort of writing. But I've also taught expository writing, and just being around really highly articulate, really well-educated fellow teachers, you know. And also, I think that there is this new vulnerability that teachers feel. And it was just a way for me to look at this incredibly large topic in a very personal way. Mm-hmm. And so I think that if I had sat down to try to write a play about shootings, it would have been impossible. But to write a play about a teacher and a student, that was much more doable.
And you've spent time teaching in junior colleges and whatnot? It's a very familiar life to a writer.
Yeah. Well, that play is actually not necessarily a junior college. It could be any sort of four-year institution. And I have taught at a variety of institutions just because I spent a lot of time in grad school.
We got a phone call from here. We got Sammy from Berkeley on the line. Hey, Sammy, welcome to Forum.
Hi. My question for Julia was regarding the idea of toxic masculinity. It's something that I think has come up in a lot of conversations around these mass shooters, active shooters. And I was wondering what, if any, role that plays in the show, in Office Hour?
I think that there is definitely a part that plays in the thinking of the character of Dennis. I think that I'm not sure how to parse toxic masculinity. I mean, I do feel that for someone like Dennis, who feels emasculated, that is toxic to him. And I do think, you know, there was a recent article that made the rounds on the internet about how boys are broken. And I think that also resonated with me that, you know, to go back to sort of an earlier question about how the shooters are described as monsters, and so many of them are just young boys who are not much older than or even the same age as the people they are shooting. And so I think that to include the shooters in the conversation of there's something wrong here is just helpful. I think it just widens the conversation and it makes it more complex and more nuanced.
Well, it's interesting. And when I saw the play, I felt like you sort of started with that stereotype of the toxic masculinity. You have this guy with, you know, the sunglasses on and the hat and the hoodie, and he comes in, and he doesn't say anything, he's sort of mute. But then you start to sort of peel away, almost literally, right? Like he starts to take off his hoodie and he starts to take off his hat. Was that sort of like intentional in terms of maybe starting with this, what's becoming a paradigm, the toxic masculine male shooter, or the, you know, and trying to strip that down?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that there's also a weird, you know, playbook that has come about because the shooters are all aware of each other, you know, that they have all studied each other. So I think there is a deliberate costume that is starting to happen, you know, the military gear, the dark clothes. So I don't know, again, exactly how it, you know, plugs into the whole idea of toxic masculinity, but it certainly does plug into some sense of, I think, a group of young men who feel very powerless, who feel this is the way to feel powerful.
We have a tweet here from Ruth, and she says, art needs to hold a mirror to society. Bravo for tackling this important issue. And I saw the play myself, and I really enjoyed it. But I imagine there's some people who are like, I'm sick of hearing about school shootings. I'm sick of hearing about guns. And why should I go watch this grim play? What do you hope that they're going to come out of this play with?
You know, it is a grim play. I mean, it's hard for me to watch. And I would give anything to not have written it in a way. I mean, I don't enjoy it. I guess all I know is that there are certain people that I or the play will never reach or never appeal to. But for those who actually have been touched by this or are as afraid and troubled by it as I am, I feel like the play gives you a space to think about it, to be with it. And I think for some people that in its own weird way is comforting.
We've been talking to Julia Cho. She's a playwright. She's got a play up at the Berkeley Rep right now called Office Hour. It's going through March 24th. Thank you so much for joining us on Forum, Julia.
Thank you.
And I'm Queenie Kim, and you are listening to Forum.